The San Juan Ridge actually is part of the Nisimkhawak district. Some of those borders are a bit fluid, but it looks to be about a 45 square mile radius. So we're talking a really small world. If you could put it like in a little biodome of, I don't want to sound romantic, but in the perfect sustainable life with everything that is provided from the land. I'm not really that smart about all this ecological stuff, but you want to have a swath of trees and land that is untouched so animals can live there, and there's like some kind of buffer or something for things that's really important. And we see that a lot with our family groups and the patterns of where we traveled. So San Juan Ridge was very heavily populated up into Camptonville. As you get up into the colder places, the archaeologists and the academics say, well, you guys didn't live above 4,000 feet. But some of the families, it seemed, that were kind of troublemakers did live above 4,000 feet. And no offense against the Camptonville crews, but the Camptonville Indians, our cousins, they were always a little on the wild side.
It was a small town ran by some established families who were very, very narrow in their thoughts and had a way of thinking this is how it is. And they not only put up the hands to the new people coming in, but to many of the people there. They just didn't, it was a whole different mindset, and I think it was for the good.
But it's
Really
like
for the
that in
good.
every town.
Did you feel safe as native people in that area?
I always felt safe because I always felt that I could and would protect myself in any situation. There was many feelings of unsafeness in would we really have a place to live after my mom and dad split and she was alone with us? That was an unsafe feeling, but that wasn't like physical unsafe. That was just, what's going to happen next week? But safe physically, I mean, you could walk around anywhere there at night,
The bad part was in the homes. Some fathers were alcoholics. I'm not going to say their names, but a bunch of them right there. Some would rather use a paycheck to go to the bar. Some kids go to somebody else's house to ask for food. So most of the violence that I call violent against a child or a family is mostly inside the home. That's how I looked at it.
We housed a lot of teenage girls off and on through the years because it was a safe place to come.
I go to the reservations, I see how they survive, how they live, elders in their 90s, and I listen to their stories. They don't have modern things, but they're so interesting and in how they look at life. The main thing with them is kids and a home life. Okay, yes, a lot of them got out on fire water, but they're not there. They boot them off of the reservations or whatever. But really, to get in there and try to talk to them, it's really interesting. But you couldn't walk in there and talk to them because they wouldn't talk to you. This is how it goes. And when they talk to you and tell you what's going on in their household, you don't go out and repeat it. You have to respect them. And when they have a death, they lay them out on the porch, and you go out and you visit with the family, and the dad's laying
That's
there, and then
something
they
that they've
bury
done
them.
for
But they don't call it a
teenagers
wake.
around here.
They call it family gathering.